tree. Do you know what ages that's for?
Right now it's 5, kindergarten through.
Kindergarten through?
5th.
5th, okay.
It's like elementary.
Okay.
We're going to start there.
All right. So if you know of anyone that would like to participate in the children's choir, please come this Wednesday. Volleyball will begin this Thursday at 6:30.
Jonah's doing that, so...
Okay, so we're just going to begin. So, Casey, you've been asking? There's your answer, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. Also, mark on your calendar next Saturday. No. Yeah, this coming Saturday. Is that right? Yeah. Our spiritual renewal weekend, it's Saturday night and during the both services on Sunday. George Estes will be our speaker. Make plans to attend that. Also, the last Sunday of this month, we will have a breakfast and the youth will lead our services. So please mark that on your calendar. Also, please mark Wednesday night service. Wednesday night supper, if you make plans to attend, please fill out the RSVP and put it in the collection plate or give it to the office. That's all the other announcements you can read in the bulletin at your convenience. Are there any announcements from the congregation? Yes, ma'am. Well, you're saying, for example, like for the times for Jamie's brother saying, some people got it, some people did not. Yes. So if you got it, so if we got it, then you've got our email, right? So, okay. All right.
Oh, and second, I guess, Larry, are you still asking?
If people
want
to be on the committee, if they don't want to be drafted.
A lot of people said they didn't get the list, so if you would just ask, this is for the committee for 2005, if you have interest or some names on here, or whatever, just correct or list down whatever.
I think it started... Did you see it last week? Did it start on that side? So I'll tell you what, let's start in the middle right today. Because I think it started on that side, and I don't think it ever got to the middle. So we'll start in the middle today.
The question is, there's two committees, one in particular. Evangelism and outreach works good. You see what you're doing, but evangelism and missionary education, people are scared away from that. We'll even preach about it this morning. So people really do, are worldwide, are fearful of doing anything of a witnessing nature and pretty standard. But we need some planners as well as some workers. So that's the most blank committee, or the most empty committee. The outreach committee has done so much last year with about 3 members. They just planted and everybody jumped in and followed them. So that's okay. That type of work, Melanie, would you say that type of work works okay? Yeah, but y'all have, but that type of work, we can do that. Building your grounds, me, I always want to build your grounds. Kitchen committee, bunch of women on the kitchen committee. But we need some evangelists. If you feel that you have the gift of evangelism, nothing else, planning evangelism.
Yes, ma'am.
Speaking of outreach, first of all, to address the committee idea, yes, the committee is small, we do need more members, but the idea is not that we organize and we make all the decisions for outreach. They have to come from y'all. And if anybody in the church doesn't really want to be on the committee but has an idea, a need that they know of, or something they want to research or try, you can bring it through committee and it has never failed that any idea we put out to this congregation, people respond as well to. So we're open to new ideas for the new year. And also the January outreach is for this travel-sized pillow that Lisa Rippey is preparing pillowcases for. And we are up to, I think, about 67 pillows that we have in hand right now. And we will collect those to the end of January. We either have money or actual pillows in the boxes over there for about 67. Our goal is to get 100 by the end of January. They're $2.50 down at Walmart, the extra large oversized travel pillows. And you can donate money to toward purchase by so marking on your offerings or your gift and leaving it in the offering plate of the office. And or you can purchase pillows and put them in the box. And so thank you very much.
Okay. Are there other announcements? Jeff, if you'd be so kind as to read scripture this morning, I'll give you a heads up. Thank you. Any other announcements? If not, please be sure, like, and for those that have just come in, please be sure as you're registering your attendance this morning, please, if Joyce does not have your email address, please be sure and put your email address on the attendance record this morning. Prayer request. Do we have any prayer requests?
Jackie Fuquay called yesterday. His uncle, Carl Fuquay, has been on the list. The people in Jackie and, well, the Sanctuary Sunday School class was aware of that situation. But Mr. Fuquay that passed away yesterday, he would be in Robertson County Funeral Home, and they just want to pass that on and lift up the Fuquay family. Mr. Ed's dad is not well on an oxygen continuum. Ed's mom is a patient at Bethany and hasn't spoken anything in a number of years, so this makes it, I guess, doubly difficult there. Continue to pray for Jamie and his family. Jamie's brother died Tuesday morning early, I guess. We will have a memorial service in Fayetteville on Sunday afternoon, the 30th, or the 5th Sunday, so the 30th of this month.
Okay. Yes, sir.
The family of Evelyn Parker, she was killed in a car accident. I think she had had a heart attack across the line. If somebody had been elevated, they are fine. The family of Evelyn Parker.
Okay. Family of Evelyn Parker. Karen?
The little fourth grader at Grand Mary that goes to school, Shane Tyler, that's been battling brain cancer for 2 years. I got an email. He's not been at school, but his father has a journal on the website, and they just said any day now, we're not giving any restrictions for anything.
Okay. Are there others? If not, please remember to pray for those that just have been mentioned. Pray for our armed services. Continue to lift up the tsunami victims. I think it's a praise that we've had such an outpouring of aid, relief, volunteers that have answered to the call. Pray for the families in California, the families up in the Midwest for flooding. So wherever there has been weather affecting, please pray for all those families and victims. If you could bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive. If you will turn in your bulletins. I waited patiently for the Lord. God bent down to me and heard my cry. On my lips, God put a new song. Many will be filled with awe and learn to trust in God. My desire is to do your will, O God. Your law is in my heart. Those who seek you rejoice, and those who long for your saving help cry out. All glory to the Lord.
Let's all stand and turn to our hymnals to hymn 9.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore Him. Lord, we come to praise You. Lord, we thank You for all that You have done. And Father, it is beyond our comprehension to understand it. But we come as Your humble people, just thankful. Thankful that we can be a part of Your kingdom. Thankful that You care, the God of heaven, the God of creation. You care for Your creatures, that which You created. Lord, we just come this morning to praise You. So allow that to happen as You move within us. Motivate us. Stir us. Lord, bless each individual who has gathered in this place. But Lord, we pray not only for ourselves, we pray for all of Your people, wherever they meet this day. Lord, those who are saddened with death, we pray for Your comfort. Those who are physically ill and near death, and those who would minister to them, Father, we pray for Your blessings and help there, according to Your holy will. Lord, so often we fail to know what it is that You want in particular situations. But we know that You always do what is right and good. And we come thanking You for that. Lord, as we worship, we pray for the leadership of Your Spirit in every thought, in every word. And we pray in the name of Jesus, praying as He taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Turn your hymnals to hymn 233.
233. That may not be the right number. Is it not, Melvin?
It's not Jesus' name.
We
want
to do Jesus'
faith. We do
306. 306. All righty. That's how my typewriter works sometimes, too. Let's sing first and last. 306.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus sang, Jesus sang, spread the tidings all around. Jesus sang, Jesus sang, and news to every land. Like the seas that cross the waves, onward is our Lord's command. Jesus sang, Jesus sang, with the wind.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal. And it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So if you want to be getting one of those close to you, that learning song, we're going to do that this morning too, and it'll be in this book.
From day to day.
70, you have been given 70. And play just a little bit of that for us, could you?
Thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. Will our ushers come forward at this time?
Thank you.
And our scripture this morning will be read by Jeffrey Seaman.
We read this morning from 1 Corinthians 1 through 9. Paul, called to the apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those who sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And from 1 John 29 through 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which then translated is Peter. The word of God for the people of God.
We did choose some unfamiliar hymns this morning. There are some beautiful hymns that we just look over and we just hardly ever sing. And we have a little comfort zone that we like to stay in. Now, anything though in this hymn book here, behind about page 400 or something, or about song 400 and something, actually it's not pages, sometimes it's two pages. Anything before this, like number 132, is that what it was? We should know that one, 192, because we learned it one time, right? About four or five years ago. And we probably just sang it once that day, but surely we remembered that. I didn't remember just how it went, but I felt safe. And then this book, a group gave us about 125 of these, and there's some beautiful new songs here, and some people would call them contemporary songs. And I thought that one was, as I was looking through it, I guess Friday, and that number 70 there was just speaking to us. It would be a good one for us to learn also. So thank you for making an effort. And we did pretty good, did we not? I hope God would be pleased and blessed that we will learn a new song. Witnessing. talked last week about the don'ts and the do's. Has anyone practiced some of these? Have you made some changes? Did you find as you read the don'ts and the do's last week, again, it wasn't the first time I know that you read it, you said, oh, okay, I need to stop doing this, and I need to start doing some things. If you remember, I italicized the don'ts from four passages and underlined the do's, the things that God, through Paul, has called us to do. But Paul wasn't the originator of these. Most everything he said was based on the Old Testament that he knew so well. Today, let's think about witnessing. But let's also think about the one that we witness to. You read two lessons this morning. Actually, if we just read the lesson from John, we would see two thoughts or two themes in it, two suggestions. One message. Let's look at the first message first, or one message first. One message included in this scripture we receive with much joy and much rejoicing. Do we not? A welcome message it is. We eagerly receive it. Because that's the good news. The good news. The message of Jesus bearing our sins. That is, if we ever get to the point of confessing or admitting with ourselves that we have sinned like all other people and have fallen short of the glory of God like other people. If we ever come to that realization and realize the gravity of sin, the seriousness of sin, the penalty of sin, we welcome the message that Jesus has borne our sin in His body on that cross some 2,000 years ago on that hill called Calvary, and in another language called Golgotha, the place of the skull, because it looked like a skull. It was rounded like a skull. A great place. If there could be any greatness in crucifixions, for all to see, to be a warning to all who didn't toe the line and obey the law or rebelled against the Romans. It was a great place to warn the young or the rebellious. So we receive eagerly the message of Jesus dying for our sin, providing forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life for all who will trust Him as their Savior. And especially for us. Especially for me. We receive that message eagerly. And we experience His forgiveness. And we say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I'm so glad to be reminded of that. But then there's a second message from this passage. A message that's not so well received. A message that we rather shy away from. That message is that we who trust in Jesus, we who have experienced salvation, forgiveness, have received eternal life, we are to give a witness. We are to give a witness to whomever will listen. We are to bear witness of the great things that God has done and will do, what He has done in our lives and what He will do in someone else's life. We are to bear witness that those who have not yet believed, that they too can experience forgiveness, experience salvation. They can be saved from Satan, saved from their sin, saved from hell, if you want to use that word, saved from being separated from God, or they can be restored to God, to a fellowship with God, by believing in Jesus to be their Savior and Lord. That includes repentance. That includes confession. But by believing in Jesus, they acknowledge their sin. Got to acknowledge it before you'll even think you need forgiveness, right? And then Jesus calls us to turn from it, to repent. John the Baptist, he had no qualms about witnessing to the blessings that one could experience through Jesus Christ. John was a preacher himself, a rather oddly dressed preacher. Skins for his clothing. His diet, he had a special diet. Why? Reckon it was to just get people's attention? We don't know. I don't know. Some may know. Oddly dressed, ate locusts and honey. A preacher, a strange character. But he preached to a wicked, sinful people. And the people, even the wicked ones, even the ones that he was talking directly to, why did they keep coming to hear him challenge them in their way of living? But they kept coming. They kept coming. They were convicted within their heart. They realized under his preaching that they were sinners in need of a Savior. They were convicted of their sin as they listened to what John said. And then they, in their conviction, they said, "What shall we do?" So John proclaimed what they should do. And you can find this in the early part of Luke and in the early part of John and in the early part of Matthew. What shall we do? One day, Jesus approached John. The third chapter of Luke is a good place to go look for what he preached to them. He said, "Change your way of living." That's a short summary of it. Quit living wickedly. Quit living to yourself. Quit being selfish. Share what you have. Live a clean life. A good moral life. Someone wanted to be baptized, and he said, "Go and do things that show that you've been baptized, or that you've been converted, that you have repented, that you're serious about being baptized." It appears there that he asked them to leave and then come back after they had shaped up their lives. One day, Jesus approached John and the crowd. This crowd that had gathered to hear him preach. And Jesus, in essence, demanded that John baptize him. John argued a bit, recognizing who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, God in the flesh. No need to be baptized for repentance. He had no sin to repent from. Jesus insisted that he be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And you can interpret that. To fulfill all righteousness. A later day, another day, Jesus approached. I believe it says the next day. And when John saw him, he said of Jesus, "Look." King James used that word, "Behold." Behold. Look. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he tells the crowd about who Jesus was and how great Jesus was. And then it says the next day. The next day, Jesus passed by John and two of his disciples. And John stated, look, the Lamb of God. There He is. Could be saying, there He is again, the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist knew Jesus. There were relatives, cousins, but he knew Him not just by blood relationship being in the same family. He knew Him to be special. He knew Him to be the Messiah. He said it, we find here in John's Gospel twice, where two different days he proclaimed it. He knew something special about Him when He hesitated and desired to refuse to baptize Jesus. He knew Jesus. And he told others about Jesus. And two of John's disciples, we have record of, maybe others, but at least two of John's disciples are John's students, left John and followed Jesus. The Lamb of God. What about a lamb? What's a Lamb of God? What does that have to do with salvation? An early time that we see lambs, a grown lamb called a ram in the Bible, is back in Genesis. It's chapter 22. You know the story of Abraham. Abraham was called of God to be His person. And Abraham was an old man with no children, and his wife was an old woman with no children. But God said, you're going to be the father of a great nation. And finally, after many events, much questioning, Sarah conceived and gave birth to a boy, baby boy, named Isaac. And somewhere along the way, God told Abraham to go and offer that son as a sacrifice to Him. We see this and we think very strange of God, but God knew what He was doing. Abraham just didn't know. That's often the case. We don't know what God has planned, and He has a plan for us, and we don't know what it is. We just step out in faith and trust Him to take care of us, do we not? But Abraham took his son, the only chance that he had of that promise from God being fulfilled, and that promise was that his children or his descendants would be as numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore. And Abraham, though at God's command, took this son and the donkey and the slaying knife and the wood to burn and took him up into the mountain to offer his son as a sacrifice to God. And in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, as the knife was raised to take the boy's life, an angel of God spoke to Abraham and stayed his hand or halted him. That was a last-minute reprieve, right? That was a heavenly phone call that stopped the execution. Better than the governor, an angel of God spoke. As Abraham was about to offer his son, as God had instructed, he was trusting God with his life and with his future. An angel spoke and stopped him and called Abraham's attention to a thicket, briars and brambles and bushes, to a thicket where there was a ram caught by the horns. And Abraham offered that ram as a sacrifice to God, and his son was spared. God knew what he was doing all along. Abraham didn't know, but he trusted God. But that's an early example of the Lamb being the Savior of God's people. The ram took Isaac's place. He died instead of Isaac. Then we find the lamb again in Egypt. When God was about to send the most terrible plague that could have been sent on the Egyptians. The most terrible plague was about to come. And the Israelites, that plague being the death of the firstborn of every Egyptian, the oldest child of every Egyptian family, was going to be killed by the angel of death. The angel of death was going to visit those households. But how would the angel of death know which houses were Egyptian houses and which houses were Israelite houses? So they killed a lamb. Each family was instructed to kill a lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their houses. That's the Israelite families. And they killed the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. So the angel of death would pass over these houses and spare the firstborn of the Israelite families. Isaac, saved by a lamb. The firstborn of the Israelites, saved by a lamb. And people of John's day, saved by a lamb. Saved by a lamb. You and me, this day, saved by a lamb. God's lamb. I found a little story I thought was interesting. May I share it with you concerning another lamb saving some people, a person. A tourist visited a church in Germany. And I cannot prove this story. Don't know where in Germany. It's one of those stories that you find in illustration books, okay? Or websites. Near the top of a church, there was carved the figure of a lamb. And this tourist was visiting the church and observing the church and wondered why. Why the carving of the lamb way up there? And it was explained to this visitor that when the church was being built, a workman fell from a scaffold. His co-workers rushed down, knowing in their minds that he was dead. But when they got there, they discovered that he was alive. When they got to where he had fallen to, that he was alive. How did he survive? Well, a flock of sheep. A flock of sheep was passing beneath the tower at the time that they were working on the tower. And this man, as he fell, he landed on top of one of the sheep. The sheep died, crushed to death by the weight of the man. But the man was saved. He knew firsthand what it was to be saved by a lamb. So they carved, one of the workmen carved the figure of a lamb at the spot on the tower of the church from which the man had fallen, just to commemorate this miraculous escape. And that just expresses for one man a tiny bit of what it meant when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God that saves us from spiritual death. Knowing Jesus. We said John knew Jesus. Knowing Jesus ourselves, putting our faith in Him, trusting in Him as God's Son, as God's sacrificial Lamb who gave His life on the cross for us, for you and for me. We experience salvation. We are forgiven our sin. And having received, the next step is to give. Having received, let us give. John pointed to Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And his disciples, learning who Jesus was and what Jesus was here to do, to take away the sin of the world, his disciples, John's disciples, went and followed Jesus. But that wasn't all. They didn't just follow Jesus. They, in turn, or at least Andrew, in turn, went and told his brother. Simon, coming on, is Peter. We call him Simon Peter. The next day, someone else met Jesus. His name was Philip. And he didn't just meet Jesus and build a relationship and experience the salvation that Jesus offered. Philip met Jesus, and he goes and tells his brother, Nathanael. And Nathanael became a believer. That's in the latter part of chapter 1 of John. We who know Jesus, we're called to give a witness concerning Jesus. We're called to testify that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus instructed us to do this in Matthew chapter 28. His parting words, according to Matthew. Yes, his parting words. Also, we find this in Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Mark recorded the same experience, different. He told it a little different. But we're supposed to go and bear witness. Luke, in chapter 24, we find it. And Luke, again, in Acts chapter 1. Go and tell. Jesus is telling us to go and tell. Now, to whom do we witness? God's servant Isaiah, back in chapter 49 of Isaiah. He testifies, having experienced the presence of God, the blessings of God, the salvation of God, he said that he would testify to the whole world, or he would give witness of God to the ends of the earth. That was his testimony. The whole world. Sudan. We did just have a treaty in Sudan. Been the most dangerous place for Christians to live. But this week I heard on one of the news flashes that there was a treaty signed. Hopefully they'll live up to it. But Russia. The Leonards have gone to Russia to be witnesses. To be witnesses. Indonesia. We're not as welcome as we had hoped to be in Indonesia, but there's opportunity for Christians to bear witness there. South America. Our friend Tommy Job left yesterday morning with the other group to go to South America to help build a nursing home in the name of Jesus. A nursing home in the name of Jesus. Stonebrook Boulevard. Called to witness there. Ballinger Farms. There's two houses occupied there, so it appears. Ballinger Farms, we're called. That's part of our Jerusalem. Bent Creek, they poured a footing. They poured a floor for some kind of building there this week. Somebody said it's a townhouse. Opportunity to bear witness. Now, why witness? Jesus tells us to. Jesus tells us to. That could be enough. But that may not be. The other thing is that the world is lost without a witness. The world is lost, separated from God without a witness. In 1 Corinthians, in that passage, that church had been given every gift that they needed, every grace that they needed. They were a blessed church. Friends, we are no less blessed than they are. And we're more blessed because we don't have the bickering and the fighting and the not doing the stupid things that they were doing. We are so blessed with every grace that we can share with people. Leighton Ford, part of the Billy Graham movement, Billy Graham Crusades for years, he wrote a book, Good News Is for Sharing, back in 1977. And the reason that people don't witness are given, I'm afraid I might do more harm than good. Or I don't know what to say. I may not be able to give a snappy answer to tricky questions. I may seem bigoted. I may invade someone's privacy. I'm afraid I might fail. I'm afraid I might be a hypocrite. At a Graham Crusade some time ago, it was the one in Detroit, one question was asked, what's the greatest hindrance for witnessing? 9% said they were too busy to remember to witness. 28% felt a lack of real information. But no one said that they didn't really care. Everybody cared that took this survey. But 51% had a fear of how the other person would react. No one wanted to be ridiculed, rejected, or regarded as an oddball. So they just did not witness. Let me close with an interesting little story. There was one man in a church that was eager to witness. They would call him an eccentric member of the church. And he was very zealous in his Christian life and very zealous in his witnessing. But he was a little limited in his mind. Just a little bit limited. Not totally, you know, but he was slow. And he was a barber. And one day he was trying to be a good witness, but trying to be a good barber, so he got a guy in his barber chair and got him, you know, how they used to do when they shaved more often, laid back with the lather all over his face, and he was doing his razor, you know, like stroking his razor on the razor strop or strap. He got it up there and he looked down to the man and he said, are you prepared to meet your God? Well, the customer decided it was time to leave that barber chair. So he left, lather and all. So there are ways that you might not want to witness, but that got that man's attention at least. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for Jesus, who has taken our sin, bore our sin in his body. And Lord, we want to be faithful witnesses by the way we live and by the way we talk. Give us courage, Lord. Lord, give us appointments that we might have opportunity to witness. In Jesus' name. Amen. We have a story to tell. I believe we ask that we sing the first and the third stanza. Story to Tell to the Nations. It's 296. Thank you.
may the Lord bless you, that you will know personally the Lamb of God who has taken your sin, and that you will be a faithful witness to that love of God shown through His Son Jesus, the Lamb. Amen.
Thank you.